Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Privrajakacharya Astotadasata Shushmada Svangveshla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shulabhavad Ki Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Privrajakacharya Astotadasata Shushmada Svangveshla Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Gosama Maharaja Ki Premsa Goshi Krishna Chaitanya Pabanitananda Shedvaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauda Bhaktivedanda Ki Nitai God Premanande Hari Hari All glories to some devotees. All glories to some devotees. All glories to some devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the first canto, chapter 7, text 4. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male abhashat purusham purnam mayam cha tad apashrayam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashat purusham bhunam mayam chattadapashrayam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashat purusham bhunam mayam chatadapashrayan. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male tatapashrayam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashat purusham bhunam mayam chatarapashrayam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashat purusham bhunam mayam chatarapashrayam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashat purusham bhunam mayam charapashrayam. Matajis. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashat purusham bhunam mayam charapashrayam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite male apashat purusham bhunam mayam chatat apashrayam. So word meanings. Bhakti, devotional service. Yogena, by the process of linking up. Manasi, upon the mind. Samyak, perfectly. Pranihite, engaged in and fixed upon. Amale, without any matter. Apashat, saw. Purusham, the personality of Godhead. Purnam, absolute. Mayam, energy. Cha, also. Tat, his. Apashrayam, under full control. Translation: thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. Please repeat. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it, by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Perfect vision of the absolute truth is possible only by the linking process of devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. One can perfectly realize the absolute truth personality of Godhead only by the process of devotional service, and one can enter into the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. Imperfect realization of the absolute by the partial approach of the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma does not permit anyone to enter into the kingdom of God. Sri Narada advised Srila Vyasadeva to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of Godhead and his activities. Srila Vyasadeva did not take notice of the effulgence of Brahman because that is not absolute vision. The absolute vision is the personality of Godhead, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Vasudeva Savam Iti. In the Upanishads also it is confirmed that Vasudev, the personality of Godhead, is covered by the golden glowing Hiranmayena Patrena veil of impersonal Brahman. And when that curtain is removed by the mercy of the Lord, the real face of the absolute is seen. The absolute is mentioned here as the Purusha, or person. The absolute personality of God, it is mentioned in so many Vedic literatures and in the Bhagavad Gita. The Purusha is confirmed as the eternal and original person. The absolute personality of Godhead is the perfect person. The supreme person has manifold energies out of which the internal, external, and marginal energies are specifically important. The energy mentioned here is the external energy, as will be clear from the statements of her activities. The internal energy is there along with the absolute person, as the moonlight is there with the moon. The external energy is compared to darkness because it keeps the living entities in the darkness of ignorance. The word apashrayam suggests that this energy of the Lord is under full control. The internal potency or superior energy is also called maya, but it is spiritual maya or energy exhibited in the absolute realm. When one is under the shelter of this internal potency, the darkness of material ignorance is at once dissipated. And even those who are atmarama, or fixed in trance, take shelter of this maya, or internal energy. Devotional service, or bhakti yoga, is the function of the internal energy. Thus there is no place for the inferior energy or material energy, just as there is no place for darkness in the effulgence of spiritual light. Such internal energy is even superior to the spiritual bliss attainable in the conception of impersonal Brahman. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the impersonal Brahman effulgence is also an emanation from the absolute personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The Padma Purusha cannot be anyone except Sri Krishna himself, as will be explained in the later shlokas. Om Adyandhi Midandasya Gnanjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shigudau Shiyutapatakamalam Shigudun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Dupam Sagrajatam Sahaganadaganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Brijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Kuruna Sandho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Dadha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Dadhe Brindavaneshwari Brishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye
വഞ്ചകാൽപദ്ധദുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവച പതിതനം ഭാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ജയ് ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസദി ഗൗഡ ഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrataha mudhoyam nabhi janati lokamam ajam avayam. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency, and therefore they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. So Krishna is covered by curtains. There's no way to see him. You have to move the curtains aside, or rather, they have to be drawn aside for you in order to see Krishna. And there's two curtains, Prabhupada mentions in this particular purport. There's the external energy, Mahamaya, and then there's the internal potency, or Yogamaya, as we often call. And so the whole process of devotional service is absorbing ourselves in Krishna by the grace of Guru and developing the qualification by which Krishna sees, let me remove these curtains, let me pull the cord and draw them aside progressively so that I can make my way, my vision, so that I can see the absolute personality of Godhead, as Prabhupada says here in the purport so many times. And so we see that Srila Vyasadeva, after meeting with Narada Muni, meeting with his guru, immediately before beginning his composition of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he enters into full meditation upon this personality of Godhead. All the curtains are removed. It's very fascinating. Like sometimes before we give class or something, we may pray to Krishna, pray to the deities, please let me somehow or other give class. Well, when Srila Vyasadeva is about to write the Srimad Bhagavatam, he enters into full samadhi and all the curtains of illusion are removed, and he sees the personality of Godhead himself perfectly, and he sees his Maya. That's what the verse is. So he's able to see the entire material and spiritual world and all of the energies of Krishna and Krishna himself, all in perfect relationship to each other. Sambandha Avahideya Prayojana. He has a full vision of the spiritual and material worlds, and it's in this consciousness that he begins writing the Bhagavatam. It's pretty amazing, actually. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana. It's perfect. It's pure. Right? Because Srila Vyasadeva, the author, he's in perfect, pure spiritual vision when he writes it. So, what are these two curtains? Well, just look around us. Everything that we see here, it's actually in its true position. It's nothing but Krishna. It's nothing but Krishna's energies. Right now, we're floating within the energies of Krishna. Just as a drop of water is floating within the ocean. Right? Everything we touch, everything we hear, everything we see, everything we smell, there's nothing but Krishna's energies. But do we see that? No. What do we see? We see the material world. Right? We see a world where Krishna isn't present. This is our illusion. So why do we see the world this way? Well, we see it because we desire to enjoy it. Right? It'd be very hard to try to enjoy something if we understood that it's Krishna. Or that Krishna is present. Like imagine if you're trying to do something, some material enjoyment, you're trying to watch TV or something, you're trying to watch a movie, right? Star Wars or something like that. And then all of a sudden Krishna walks in the room, you know, and he sits down next to you, right? It'd be a little bit hard to focus on Star Wars. You know, you're going to be sitting there watching, you know, Darth Vader or something like that. And then, you know, you look over and Krishna is sitting there smiling at you. It's, you know, eventually it's like you have to just forget about everything else, right? In fact, you must, because Krishna is so powerful, he's so beautiful, he's so full of knowledge, strength, fame, renunciation, that as soon as you look at Bhagavan, everything else vanishes. And that's all you see. You're drawn into it. You're intoxicated by Krishna. That's all you ever want to see for eternity. Right? And so, if Krishna were somehow present before our vision, there's no way we could enjoy the world. You know, it would totally blow it. Krishna would totally ruin our party, right? Just by showing up, the whole material illusion goes away. Not only that, but you're fully satisfied, right? You have no desire to enjoy anything because you feel full. Your cup runneth over, right? And so, therefore, as soon as Krishna allows us the free will to enjoy the world, so as soon as we look towards the world with the desire to enjoy it, immediately Krishna appears to vanish. Right? He removes himself from our vision. He covers himself with the curtain. And then you're allowed to look upon his energies with the illusion that they're for your enjoyment. You know, you can lust after material energy. Right? You look at Maya and you think, this is something for my pleasure. If you could see that it's actually Krishna, you wouldn't be able to do that. So this is the first curtain. And Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, especially in the fourth chapter, that, you know, the human form of life, it's meant for sacrifice. So we're actually within right now, we've taken birth in bodies which are meant to remove that illusion. These bodies are specifically created so that we can participate in a process of sacrifice or yajna or religion or worship that actually allows that vision, that illusion of material reality to vanish. We can actually overcome our lust for material energy and see its true nature in this particular body. It's actually a great gift, right? And so Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita so many different types of sacrifice, but the general principle is that this whole world is nothing but Brahman. It's nothing but Krishna. And by offering the world to Krishna or to Brahman, then eventually you regain your consciousness of its true nature. He gives the example of a fire sacrifice. You know, like somebody's performing, you have the grains, you have the fire, you have the priest who's performing the sacrifice, you have everything that's offered in it, you have the yajaman, the person who, on behalf of who it's going to be done. So imagine you're a priest sitting there performing this fire sacrifice. You know, you kind of wake up in the morning, you know, got to do a yajna. And then as you're doing it, and it looks like, you know, here's my spoon, here's the grains, here's the fire, there's Rabindranath Prabhu. And then, you know, and as you're doing the yajna, gradually you start to see that everything is spiritual. Wait a minute, this spoon in my hand, this is actually Krishna's energy. Wait a minute, this fire is Krishna's energy. These devotees are Krishna's energy. The priest is Krishna's energy. I'm Krishna's energy. Everything is Krishna's energy. It's all Krishna. Nitai Gaur. Right? So gradually as you perform the sacrifice, you see that everything you're working with is actually spiritual. Prabhupada mentions in the purport to Bhagavad Gita 4:25. So what yajna does is it allows us to remove the veil of material illusion and see that there's nothing but Krishna and Krishna's energies. So then there's another curtain after this. If you're somehow able to remove the material curtain, or rather your illusion about material existence, then, by Krishna's grace, then you're confronted with another curtain, right? Which is the effulgence of God. So there's many different yogis and jnanis and sadhus. Basically, that's by your own power, the soul can actually lift itself into the impersonal Brahman. It can lift itself into the light of Brahman, but that's as far as it can go by its own power. So when the soul finds itself having transcended matter, floating in this pure light of bliss, right? This beautiful golden light of Brahman, Hiranmayena Patrena. This is actually, the soul is sitting there, Sukhasya Kanti Kasya Cha. Krishna even mentions it's the highest form of happiness, right? It's the deathless, eternal platform of bliss. And so the soul is sitting there in bliss, Om, you know, fully understanding the true eternal nature of itself and feeling transcendental satisfaction. And yet this is another curtain of Maya, and that the effulgence itself is actually blocking the true vision of Krishna. You can't see Krishna through the effulgence. It's too bright, right? Krishna's aura is shining out. And you're, as a soul, you're just sort of bathing within this aura, but you can't see anything. It's so bright, you can't see yourself. You can't see the other jivas around you. But you are feeling the ecstasy of that brilliant aura of Krishna. So there's this, however, it is considered a curtain because for a couple reasons. One reason is that when you look upon the effulgence, you may identify with it. And this is, Prabhupada calls this the last snare of Maya. You may think, in fact, that you are God, right? You may think, you know, aham brahmasmi, right? I am Brahman. But you may consider you may not consider the distinctions between yourself and the personality of Godhead. Nor may you even understand there is a personality behind that effulgence, right? Many of the world's religions, they actually conceive of God in many different ways simply as that effulgence. There's no understanding of the details of the personality behind it. You know, there's the effulgence and it's kind of a person. We don't really understand how. Right? So, but when one is elevated to that state of consciousness, one may confuse himself with the absolute truth in the full sense of the word, Purnam, right? That I am in fact God. So this is the last snare of Maya. It's a complete illusion. A living entity can never be the personality of Godhead, can never be the complete absolute truth, the super soul, the soul of all living entities, Sri Krishna. And yet the illusioned individual, bewildered by this effulgence, may come to that conclusion. And then you have another reason individuals may become bewildered by this effulgence, is that due to our experience in the material world, we really come to dislike personalism. Right? Prabhupada mentions in this in Isha Upanishad that basically we come to that the absolute, this material world is so miserable and so horrible, and individuals, you know, operating as individuals, interacting with each other as people, is so miserable that the absolute truth must be the opposite of this. There cannot be a personhood within the absolute truth. That would ruin it. Right? Just like if you go through life, you experience so many miseries interacting with others. Finally, you just want to get away from it all. You know, let me just go out into the mountains. I've had enough of people. Right? I'm just going to, you know, I'm supposed to go do something. You know, I'm going to drive to San Fernando Valley or something to pick something up. Let me just keep going. Right? I'll just keep going all the way into the desert. Let me go to the Mojave Desert. I don't want to see anyone. I'll just keep going until there's no one and nothing, until even the road runs out. Right? And I'll sit there on the mountainside and see nothing but the stark beauty of the desert. So in the same way, the yogi, driven by a sort of frustration with material existence, will try to enter into Brahman and believes that there can be no personhood within the absolute truth, because personality means suffering, it means misery. Okay? So this is also another illusion. It's a material conception based upon the suffering of the material world. So behind that effulgence is a whole personality. There's Krishna, right, with all of his qualities. Shriya Kanta Kanta Padama Purusha Kalpatadava Drumi Bhuma Shtinta Mani Ganamai Toyamamritam. Right? So in the spiritual world, every word is a song, every step is a dance. The water is like nectar, the earth is made of chintamani. It's a very wonderful, beautiful place where actual relationships in their pure transcendental forms exist, which are fully satisfying. Okay? So therefore, we see in Isha Upanishad, as Prabhupada mentions in today's purport, the devotee is praying, Krishna, please, ranmayana patrina, remove this blazing effulgence, right? I'm not at the highest level of the absolute truth, even though I'm sitting here bathed in your light of Brahman. I know that behind this light, your personality is there. That beauty of Goloka is there. I want to see it. Please remember everything that I've done for you. All the service that I've done, please forgive all of my sins. That's actually like the next verse or so. Please forgive all of my mistakes and faults and problems. Please allow me to enter into your spiritual service at the time of death. And please remove this effulgence and allow me to see your beautiful face. Brahmano hi pratishtaham amritasya vyasyacha. Krishna, you're the source of Brahman. This is nothing but your effulgence. Remove it, right? Tone down the shining bling, right? I want to actually see the beautiful person that's emanating this effulgence. So this is the perfection. Now, in order to achieve this, you have to have Krishna's permission. We see that even when Krishna was present in the material world and walking there as a person, not everyone could understand him or see him or recognize who he is. Right? We could see, especially during the pastime of the Rajasuya sacrifice, that this is actually the most amazing experience for Maharaj Yudhisthir, because we understand Maharaj Yudhisthir is an incredible personality. He's a great pure devotee, and everything that he did, the attainment of the kingdom, the Kurukshetra war, everything that this great devotee ever took upon himself, it was simply for the glorification of Krishna. Excuse me. And so when he was there at the Rajasuya sacrifice, it's kind of like the pinnacle of his service. Because at that sacrifice, at which many of the great sages of the universe, such as Narada, Vyas, Asita, Devala, all these individuals, they all came, as well as the great Kshatriya kings of that area, the king of Matsya, the king, you know, and as well as the Dhritarashtra and all of the Kurus, everybody was there. And at that sacrifice, you have to actually choose who the greatest personality there is. It's known as Agra Puja, right? And so even though all the greatest personalities of both the entire universe, as well as the earth at that time, were there within that ceremony, Everyone was wondering, you know, who should we choose to be the greatest personality? Who's the best among us? And then Sahadev spoke up. You see, because we look at the devotees of Krishna, they have these curtains removed. And therefore they look upon Krishna and they can see who he truly is. They can understand he's the personality of Godhead. But also in that assembly are other people who do not have the curtains removed. They're fully behind the curtains. And what we see at the Rajasuya sacrifice is a kind of fight between them, you know? Those who look upon Krishna free of the veils of material illusion and understand his glories, and those who are completely in material illusion and look upon Krishna and don't understand who he is. In fact, they're so ignorant of Krishna, they actually hate Krishna. The darkness of illusion is so great that they feel anger towards Krishna. And so all of these individuals were there. So when Sahadev spoke up and he said, let us worship Krishna. He's the personality of Godhead. He's the source of all of us. He's Bhagavan. He's full of all the six opulences. And he glorified Krishna in front of everyone, basically looking upon Krishna, looking directly at Krishna and telling Krishna's glories, telling everyone what he's seeing when he looks at Krishna. Right? Because again, these curtains are not there. The curtains are drawn back and he's just glorifying Krishna. And so others, you know, also the great sages who are similarly purified, they stepped forward and said, Sadhu, you know, this is great. Yes, we should do this. Worship Krishna. He's the best among us. And they began to worship him. And Maharaj Yudhisthira, it's a very, very beautiful vision. It's actually, there's that famous BBT painting where Maharaj Yudhisthira is performing the Agra Puja and all the, you know, chamara whisks and everything are going. First, he brought himself and his entire family, they came forward and they personally bathed the feet of Krishna. Can you imagine that? Imagine Krishna's, his, the tops of his feet are the dark blue, right? Asita Buddha Sundadangam. It's like a dark blue rain cloud. And the bottom of his feet are that pinkish color. And so he personally, each one of them, took Krishna's feet in their hands. You have the flag, the chariot, right? The elephant goad and the bottom of his feet. And the tulsi leaves. And they're bathing Krishna's feet right there. Imagine bathing Krishna's foot, holding it in your hand, and looking up into Krishna's face and seeing that incredible beauty, the beauty of all beauties. Not everything that you see is just a particle of that beautiful face. And, you know, all beauty that you may see, everything that entices you. And so he looks upon this beautiful face, and it mentions in the Krishna book that Maharaj Yudhisthira couldn't even see Krishna because his eyes were so filled with tears. And so all of his family did this and bathed Krishna, and then Maharaj Yudhisthira began his puja. Right? You know, they bring out the artik tray and he begins worshipping Krishna. Yeah, and it's a declaration before all the sadhus and sages of the world and all the kshatriyas that are there that this is the personality of Godhead. This is why I do everything I do. I am just a humble servant of the personality of Godhead, even though I am the emperor. And this is why he was chosen to be the emperor and why he is the perfect emperor. And so while performing this puja, or rather afterwards, you could see, you know, everyone was standing and everyone was shouting, Jaya, Jaya, right? Namaha, Namaha. They're all off. In fact, it mentions they were offering obeisances. All these great rishis were offering obeisances, except there was one person sitting down. Yeah? Even though everyone was standing, he was sitting there like, stupid Agra puja, right? And that was Shishupal. And so he was sitting there burning with anger and seeing Krishna be worshipped. And again, he's behind the curtains of illusion, especially the material curtain. And therefore he's becoming angry and angrier. What is this Krishna? He's just a human being, right? He's just a human being. And there's all these people around us, you know, who are far greater, far more important than him. You know, great sages, this is disgusting. How can this be done? And he's not even a good human being. He's a cowherd boy, right? From Vrindavan. Oh my God. Vrindavan's just like some backwood village and he's herding cattle. I mean, I can smell the cows, right? It's just, he's nothing but a cowherd boy. And not only that, but he doesn't even follow the Vedas. In fact, he stood up and he got so angry, he started shouting at Krishna. Krishna could hear him. He was shouting that, you know, he doesn't even follow the Vedas. In fact, he lives in a fort on an island on the ocean. Who knows what he's doing there? Right? We know that there's no Vedas being chanted there. And the only time he comes out is when he comes to harass the citizens on the land, right? When he comes to the actual shoreline and he and these gurus, you know, these yadus, they're like dacoits. Right? And so he's saying all of this, and meanwhile, everyone is becoming very angry. because they have spiritual vision. They see Krishna for who he is, and they're very disturbed to hear this blasphemy. Prabhupada mentions you have to immediately leave the room. He mentions it this time in Krishna book. And so when this blasphemy is going on, some of the great sadhus, they just left, you know, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, and they just went out the door. Whereas other ones, the kshatriyas, they took out their shields and swords, right? And they're looking at them like, you know? And even mentions in Nectar Devotion, Bhima, right? Bhima's eyes became like molten copper. I mean, you couldn't even look at him because he's ready to just take his club and just make it rain blood, right? He's so angry. And so Shishupal, he's just going at Krishna, rah, 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 and blasphemy after blasphemy, and mentions Krishna, he was just very peaceful. He wasn't disturbed at all. He's just watching. 55, 56, 57, right? So he's just watching. And then finally, all these kshatriyas, you know, then all of a sudden Shishupal kind of looks at them and sees they all want to fight. So then he grabs his sword and his shield, and he's starting to get ready, and he starts shouting at them, calling them names, abusing them. And that's when Krishna said, okay, it's enough. We don't want there to be fighting right here in the middle of the yajna, right? It's a purified place. So he takes his chakra, and there went the head, you know, right there in front of everyone. And then everyone could see Maharaj Yudhishthir, all the individuals present. It was a fantastic situation. They could see the soul rise up and then enter into Krishna and merge right into Krishna. And it mentions there that he achieved Sayujya Mukti. Now Prabhupada mentions in the seventh canto that it appears, you know, like Sayujya Mukti is actually entering into this light of Brahman. When it says merging into the body of Krishna, it doesn't mean that you sort of like merge into his arm, you know. Now Krishna's got all these souls like kind of all over his body. No, it means you enter into the effulgence. That's merging into his body. And Prabhupada mentions there that even though Jaya and Vijay, because Narada was telling Yudhishthira had asked about this to Narada, and Narada was, you know, I saw this soul come out and shoot into Krishna. What was that all about, right? Only you can explain this. And so he explained about Jayan Vijay, Aranyakashipu, right, Hiranyaksha, Dantavakra, Ravana. Prabhupada mentions that after taking birth as these powerful demons, then Shishupal and Dantavakra, they took birth in these sort of pious, high-level kshatriya families. Right? And then by being killed directly by the disc of Krishna, they were completely purified of all their sins. That's important because they did a lot of sins, right? You're a Ravana. There's so many sinful activities. But just being touched by the chakra of Krishna, they were completely purified. And when they entered into his body, they didn't simply enter into the effulgence. They went into Vaikuntha and they resumed their position as Jaya and Vijay. So we see that the devotees of Krishna, they move ultimately through this effulgence. Right? They move past that just by the contact with Krishna. Shishupal, he was behind this gross curtain of material illusion. So deep and so thick was the curtain that when he looked at the personality of Godhead, he felt hatred, bitter hatred. Right? And then after being destroyed by Krishna, he was so purified, not only did he become exalted beyond that illusion, that curtain, he went even past the effulgence. Right? He went even through the Hiranmayena Patrina, that golden effulgence was removed, and again he went to Vaikuntha to resume his service. And Prabhupada mentions here in conclusion that it is this service which is actually the internal potency or yoga maya. It is the service to Krishna, daivihyesha gunamaya mamamaya dadatya, that allows us to actually move through these curtains. Right? It is by coming into the shelter of the internal potency, Srimati Radharani, Lakshmi Devi, Bhakti Devi, these manifestations of Krishna, the way that you see that you're coming under their shelter is that you're engaged in Krishna's service. All of you here who are engaged in service to Krishna, this is actually a symptom that you are directly under the shelter of Krishna's internal potency. That's what it looks like. When you're under the shelter, you're absorbed in Krishna. You think of Krishna. You hear about Krishna. You chant Krishna's names. You do service to Krishna. And the Guru Parampara is a manifestation of that internal potency in the material world. This temple is an embassy to the spiritual world. It's an outpost where the servants of Krishna from Goloka actually enter into the world and disseminate, or rather open up, the internal potency of Krishna and allow everyone to touch it, to come in contact with it, and to come under shelter of it. Okay? So thank you very much. all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any comments or questions? No? Okay. It's only to Sama Blanca Swami as a comment. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you so much for the words. My question is, the going into body, it's not literal, it's figurative, symbolic of something.
I'm sorry, can you repeat it?
The example, when you spoke of the souls going into Krishna's body, mm-hmm. and that being not literal, it's symbolic.
No, it's literal. The souls actually went into Krishna's body, but what was happening on a deeper level is that they're entering through the effulgence and into the spiritual world.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any questions?
I was just, thank you for a nice class, Prabhuji. I was thinking of that pastime you were describing in the assembly of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and I'm noticing that Harinam is a little bit like Krishna book, because when you're chanting on the street, there's always a Shishupal character who comes up. Most people appreciate it.
Do you have a chakra?
No. We just chant louder.
You have cartels, right?
But yeah, there's always, you know, you go out, you don't know what to expect, and it's yagya, and people are feeling, we're feeling blissful, and most people around us are appreciating. But then there's the one Shishupal character who comes up, and like Shishupal, starts hurling insults and so forth and so on. Anyway, I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Many nice pastimes and many excellent spiritual points. I just wanted to mention one point in regard to one of the points that you made, and that was when Krishna actually beheaded Shishupal with his Sudarshan Chakra. There's a little story behind that. I won't go into the whole thing, except that when Shishupal was born, he was born in a very funny, ugly manner. And what happens is that the only way that ugliness would go away, I can't remember what it was, but he had a horn in his head or something. Huh? He had four arms, and what was the other thing? The thing in the head?
Three eyes.
Huh?
Three eyes.
He had three eyes. Yeah, so it was mentioned by a sage that the only way they would go away is if somebody who came into the presence of Shishupal, that person, by his presence, would make those ugly manifestations disappear. So it happened to be that Krishna was a cousin of Shishupal. So he was invited, and when he went there, then what happened is that those ugly manifestations disappeared, and Shishupal's mother was there. And it was also mentioned that the person who would cause those ugly manifestations to disappear would also be the person who would slay Shishupal. So when Shishupal's mother heard this, she begged Krishna. She said, please, please don't kill my son. He's your cousin. Please. So he said, well, you know, he kind of hesitated. And she said, give me a promise. He says, well, I can't give you a promise. So she said, well, you have to give me something. She said, okay, if Shishupal makes 100 blasphemes against me, at that point I will kill him. So she said, well, that sounds good, because I'll train him up and to train him to become courteous and kind and very lovable, so therefore there won't be that. That's what she thought. So anyway, what happened is that at the Rajasuya sacrifice, as you were mentioning, that you put up your fingers, actually when Krishna was being blasphemed by Shishupal, Krishna was actually counting. He was waiting to reach 100. So he got like 60, 61, 62, 63, 75, 78. So he was maintaining very peaceful until finally he was getting closer to 100. So when finally 100 was reached, he said, okay, enough is enough. And out with the finger, and around the finger came the Sudarshan Chakra, and whoosh, right? And then was Shishupal's head was on the floor, and that was it. So, therefore, he gave him a lot of chance, plenty of chance, which shows the compassion and the mercy and kindness of Krishna. He could have just killed him on the 10th or the 3rd or the 2nd blaspheme, but he gave him 100, and he fulfilled the wish of his mother.
Jai, thank you. Shri Krishna ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Jai.